Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. Scott Bailey is the Chief Business Development Officer with Symmetry, a global consulting firm modernizing the approach to building design, construction, and infrastructure. He helps clients get the most out of their buildings using data and technologies like building information modeling and geographic information systems. It's about designing, building, and managing projects with more real-world context. The result? More resilient and efficient buildings and infrastructure.
Technologies is just getting smarter. So where it used to take classroom training, a lot of that can be done on the fly in a faster manner, but specifically focused on whatever type of project they're working on. And also to facilitate driving new revenue opportunities through extended reality.
Scott Bailey describes to Esri's John Lenihan how bridging building information modeling and GIS has made planning and design more efficient.
Hi, Scott. Welcome to the Esri and the Science Aware podcast.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with a two-minute overview of Symmetry and the role you play in the firm.
All right. I think I can do that. Symmetry is a global technology consulting company. We work specifically with architects, engineers, contractors, and owners. We also work in other spaces, manufacturing, process and power, and other areas. But for the purposes of today, that's the area that I work in. So specifically, we work in that area in helping people create data and leverage that data in that world. My role is Chief Business Development Officer for Symmetry US. And specifically, what I focus on is business development in AECO. So I work with some of our larger clients, but also some that are really more strategic and leaning into the data side and see that as a cornerstone of their business. So that's one focus area. The other focus area is bringing all that, hopefully, good knowledge back and helping with creating strategy as we move forward.
So in your role in Symmetry and then just generally the firm, are there a lot of software kind of packages, software products that your firm works with and brings to the table?
Yeah, for sure. Specifically, and if you don't mind, I'll give just a little bit of background on myself.
Yeah.
So we specifically sell software and configure it and customize it in that same world, architects and engineers, but with Autodesk, that's one platform that we sell. And then of course, Esri. Those are the two main ones among many others, Bluebeam and many others. However, my background is architecture, so I practiced that for 10 years, and I just really loved the technology side of it and embraced it, and frankly, I was selfish and wanted to do my job more efficiently. So I really embraced that technology. That's how I got into this world. So that's how we got into the Autodesk world and the Esri world.
Can you talk about how that impacts your clients, the working with both of those systems, and what does it actually look like when you implement and put it into action?
Yeah, you bet. Really, those two technologies are about creating and mapping data. And in the Autodesk world, a lot of that is the creation of data, specifically in a world that's building information modeling. So when architects and engineers are designing and contractors are building, they're using that Autodesk technology to design and build these commercial buildings, typically is the area that we work in. As they do that, they're creating data, and they have been for a good 20 years, 25 years now. Whether they knew it or not, they were creating data, right? And in the Esri world, it's for us bringing context to that building information modeling data. And that's essential to what we do for owners and operators of campuses in general.
So seeing that building and that building information model in the context of the park, the community, the city, the streetscape.
Everything, infrastructure, rivers, roads.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All of that. Yeah.
Okay. We've talked a lot on this podcast about how many construction companies have been slow to adopt GIS, geographic information systems, in the past few years, and even more broadly, digital transformation, changing the way they do business with technology. From your perspective, why do you think that is?
Yeah, I want to preface this by saying, because I don't want to knock contractors, I have good friends in that world, but it's been a while since I've worked in that field from the architecture standpoint. Of course, I was on job sites and in project trailers. But my feeling, and I believe this is more than just a feeling, it's from working closely with a lot of these contractors, is that in their defense, they have a project to get done. They're very project focused, and that's understandable. They've got to knock it out of the park. So when they're looking at a technology that's from a more holistic approach across systems and across a company, that is a bigger lift for them. And they really need something that's frictionless and they can get the job done quickly. They are starting to use it. I think it's partially generational that now we have, of course, everybody saying it, but we know this. We've had a whole generation that's come up with technology. So they're more comfortable with it. The pressure of getting a job done quickly is still there and they've got to get there. However, I do believe that that's changing with AI as well. The ramp-up period utilizing AI is shorter than it used to be, but also the technology is just getting smarter. So where it used to take classroom training, a lot of that can be done on the fly. And then consulting firms like ourselves are able to look for the efficient ways that we can help them utilize that technology in a faster manner, but specifically focused on whatever type of project they're working on. Another note on that, I do think it is project dependent, related on maybe even the type of, specifically, not to pick on superintendents, but you do have some superintendents that specialize in one area and some in another area. And some of those, depending on the type of work they're doing, advanced technology type work, labs and that sort of thing, are really going to be more focused on that technology and concerned more about the data and specifically the deliverable to the owner. So I don't think it's broadly underutilized, but it is underutilized, I guess, as a whole.
You've talked a little bit about the different, I guess, customers or clients. How are they involved in this process and instigating change?
Our clients are across all the disciplines, architects, engineers, contractors, and owners. And as I said previously, what we've been working with clients specifically on over the last 20, 25 years is in the AE and C disciplines, in helping them create the data. Now, that said, many of them were in the same boat of, we're here to design, we don't have time to create data. We just want to design and keep it going, and we've got some fabulous design out there as a result. But today, we're really working more in the owner space and the operator space, and they want to utilize this data that they believe they have to really modernize their operations, to have better construction predictability because there's ongoing construction, and also to facilitate driving new revenue opportunities through extended reality.
So the design is not the only output. The actual data an output, and the model is an output
that they
can start to leverage and use.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. It's really been looked at as a design drawing tool, and that's back from the computer-aided drafting days, and frankly, the board drafting days, that it was really looked at as just a tool to continue to draw. But ultimately, what it allows in building information modeling is to give them a 3D database to work from.
Okay, so taking that further, you talk about the data being undeliverable. Can you explain what data means in this context?
Yeah. When we're talking about building information modeling, this would be on the architecture engineering side. As they're designing the components that they're drawing, if they're drawing a wall, that actually includes data. What is that wall type? Is it a concrete masonry unit? Is it a brick wall? Depending on what type of design they're doing. Typically in a commercial application, it's going to have more data. That kind of data is what is getting into the owner's hands eventually so they understand what they actually have as it relates to assets. So they bought this building, they built this building. Now how do I manage my assets? Well, that's tied all the way back to the AE firms creating that type of data.
And increasingly, exactly where that wall is in a spatial perspective,
is important.
Where in the world?
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah.
So I read a quote from the director of construction at the Kraft Group. The Kraft Group owns Gillette Stadium, amongst kind of other things, the home of the New England Patriots. And he said, "We've been able to send two-dimensional PDFs or CAD, computer-aided design files, to stare at a blueprint. But a lot of people don't read that kind of document." Yeah. Can you tell me, what does that mean? What does that quote really kind of mean?
Yeah, I don't want to age myself, but this is getting back to my early years in architecture. In a 2D drawing, everything is on there. Now, you do have different versions of drawings. One could be looking at the ceiling of a plan. One could be looking at the floor plan, et cetera. But you may be looking at all of the information at one time, if you will. So you could be looking at a structural plan that includes the columns and beams and all that. But it's probably more information that you really need to get the job done in that moment. So in their case, the Kraft Group is looking at it as their stakeholders being able to see only the information that they need to see to do their job better. And that's been one of the lower hanging fruit for them, is to get to the data quickly. Where is it? And what do I need to see when I look at the data?
So let's dive deeper into the Kraft Group. What kind of insights have they received about Gillette Stadium? How have they or will they plan on using some of the data that's being delivered? And what is that data?
Yeah, you bet. We'll look at two of the divisions of Kraft. There are others, but there's the Kraft Group, which is really about operations, construction, development, among many other areas. And then there's Kraft Sports and Entertainment, which is about sales and marketing and ticket sales and all that.
Okay.
So within the Kraft Group, they have various stakeholders, specifically in construction and development. They're looking at the data that obviously affects any changes they're making. They do millions of dollars of stadium upgrades every year. It's an older stadium. It's 20 plus years old. In an NFL world, that's a really old stadium. So they work very hard to keep it modern. And with that, there's a lot of changes. So they're looking at the data they need to help them have more predictability into the future. And frankly, architects and engineers are using that data as well. So as they're designing, they can better understand, what am I working with? Whereas now it's unpredictable, they'll have this data now to help them and be more predictable with that, which of course helps with reducing change orders, faster construction times, all of that.
So you're starting from a current state baseline that actually helps everyone move forward quicker.
And then you have operations and facilities management within there. They're going to need to see data related to warranties and technical data related to maybe HVAC units and that sort of thing. On the Kraft Sports and Entertainment side, they're excited to use data to drive new revenue. Now, that world is about extended reality, and it really could be immersive experiences for ticket holders that are in a virtual world. I'm an older guy. I don't quite get it, but I get it. I see where they're going with it and potentially go with it.
So virtual sporting events, is that the idea?
Yeah, I think ultimately they're exploring all of those areas. Where can we go with this to drive additional revenue?
Yeah, or buying, if you're a season ticket holder and you're looking to upgrade your seats, you can experience the view from the...
Yeah, and I should back up because this is where it crosses over a bit. Of course, at Gillette Stadium, like any venue, they're using it for way more than just football.
Yeah.
In fact, World Cup is coming to Boston. They're going to use Gillette Stadium. So they have concerts there regularly. They have to turn and burn. They got to get on to the next thing.
Yep.
They need insights on the data as well to understand, what do we have to do to stage this next event and that sort of thing. That drives revenue as well. In the sports and entertainment side, of course, it's about ticket sales and concession sales. And they can have a view of data that helps them understand, where are we selling more hot dogs in the stadium or certain kind of beer or whatever that is. So really, the sports and entertainment side is about generating revenue, and the Kraft Group is about, where can we see cost savings as well.
What do you see on the horizon in this space at the intersection of GIS and BIM, or more broadly, the built environment?
Yeah, we talked a lot about the application for sports and entertainment, but really, this expands to any campus, which could be a hospital campus, it could be a higher education campus, anywhere that they have multiple buildings and they're managing a lot of assets. But if you think about that and you expand it beyond that, it's into the communities. We can really start to track, where are people going, not just in quantity, but also understanding behaviors of where people want to go, where they feel safe. And really, to get people in more of a community environment, I think it's going to drive that behavior more, to feel safe in a community, to be with people again. And we've taken a hit over the last 5 years in that regard, and I think we're headed in the direction to bring people together, and I think this technology is a big part of that.
Sustainable communities is really exciting, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you, John. This was fun.
Thanks for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast, and thanks to Scott Bailey. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.